When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The gods, the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on!
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Talk to you.
Baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dipper dots.
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of damn Americas. And I'm joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It does be DPP.
Man, I know it's early, but I'm kind of excited for a little May the 4th Star Wars coming up.
Yeah, I am too, actually. May the 3rd is a Friday, and Fortnite is bringing back Star Wars like they do every year. So,
oh, nice.
You actually can actually get like lightsabers and shit. Like, they'll have like little Star Wars icons on the map, and then like you go and meet like Obi-Wan or Luke, and you go into this different realm. So I'm guessing you disappear from the map, so you can't get shot while you're doing this. And they it's just like a cutscene. And, you know, like you come back out with the lightsaber and know how to wield it. And, you know, you can block all the fire. Like you can kill people pretty quick with some moves on that, too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun time when they have that in there. They throw some other stuff in there, like the Death Star lands, and like one of the bosses on the board will be Darth Vader.
Sweet.
So it's a good time. That was the last year. So I hope they do something a little different. But yeah, that's always a good time over there. What about you? What's your favorite thing for May the 4th? With you.
Clearly, if you've ever seen pictures of my basement, it's Lego Star Wars and sets that'll be released. And the Lego always does a little special gift with purchase things, and they've got a droid carrier. That'll be a gift with purchase, and something else. Shoot, I can't remember now. But I've already talked with PA and figure out our order, what we're going to pick up. Got a couple ships that are coming out that I want, and we're going to have some new Lego sets here in a little bit.
That just means more building. Like there's two Star Wars. There's two Star Wars Lego helmets we still need, and I still have one, two, three. I still have five Star Wars helmets to build. Like, yeah. I have built, you know, we got Boba Fett. You built Boba Fett. I built Mandalorian. We got Skywalker Red 5 helmet, Darth Vader. Those are all built. But we have the Dark Trooper I got to build. Princess Leia I got to build. Got to build Commander Cody, Captain Rex, and the Scout Trooper. Not to mention Star-Lord and Venom. And the DeLorean and Disney 100 camera and the goat boat and War Machine mech armor and a what if. So I got a lot of shit to do over here, dude. So you keep your brand new Star Wars Legos over at the Thunderdome. Don't be sending me home with anything.
Well, yeah, I might have to have a party and, you know, do the whole whatever seat you sit on, you have to build thing again, I think, maybe. Jeez.
I think the boys are always in for that. They've always said, I mean, and they're like, you know, yeah, they're like, we'll just leave the kids at home. We'll do it. We'll drink and
right. Hang out.
Well, why maybe not? Saturday. If we don't go to the range, and we could just go out to lunch and get drunk and come back and build Lego.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Sounds like a possible plan. So now that you got your May the 4th set, and I don't know if I'm going to watch the movie. Are you going to watch any of the movies this year specifically?
Probably not specifically. No.
I think like 3 or 4 years ago, I went back and watched the 9. Maybe it was a little less. Okay. Maybe it was 2 or so years ago, but it comes in waves. Every 5 or 6 years, maybe I like to go back and get it all in again. But there's so much to it now with all the side movies and Mandalorian, and that's just the live action stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's just pick something. Like I know, you know, O'Dowd likes the Bad Batch, and that's been on my list to kind of watch. So it's like maybe I start that and give that a shot for May.
That'd be fun.
Otherwise, you're really caught up on everything else, you know.
Right.
It's like, yeah, too much to really go back and watch. There's always other stuff that you still haven't watched that you could watch instead.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not doing the Big Bang Theory where the boys sit down every May the 4th and watch every fucking movie. Like,
well, you can't now. Like you said, there's too many now. Well, even if you go to 9 movies, when that was out, it was 6, wasn't it? The new ones weren't out.
Maybe. Yeah, it was 6. Oh, man, that's too much.
Slightly easier.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to take a quick commercial break here. When we come back, though, we have some plenty of fun topics on the docket for you here, right here, DWI 427 on ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. DP, PC, DWI 427. We'll be right back.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back right here, ChairShot Radio Network. You're listening to DWI 427. Make sure you're tuned in tomorrow morning for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast with DJ, Jason, and Rob. And Monday, of course, we'll have Bandwagon Nerds. I know we might have another Big Four coming up for you. If you haven't gone and listened to the last one, Big Four Survivor Series 92 with a Bret Hart defending the WWE Championship against Shawn Michaels. Really fun watch along at the end of that podcast. The next one out will be Royal Rumble 1993. So, but right now you're listening to DWI 427, PC Tunney right here, along with DPP, AJ out on assignment. DP, let's let everybody know what's actually happening this week on this show known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting. Well, it's the big show.
It's maybe a draft sheet.
Oh, that's the NFL draft. The NFL draft is about to start as we record. It's 7:30 Eastern time on Thursday evening as we record. Yeah, I'm not. I thought about talking a little NFL draft, which you and I definitely could. But what's the point? Because the first round's already over by the time you have the ability to listen to this podcast, or has begun already. The show's been going up early Thursday nights most of the time on Chairshot Radio Network. If you're looking for something, but otherwise, you know, it's always there for everybody. Either way, when you get up in the morning on Friday, so. I'm excited. I thought the commercial was kind of funny with Roger Goodell and Eminem.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
D. Yeah, D. Just say Detroit.
Hold on here. All right, but this week on this show, DP and I will be talking about the WWE draft. And there is no coincidence that the WWE draft happens at the same time as the NFL draft. They are definitely doing that on purpose to capitalize off of the popularity of the draft. We're going to have some early backlash thoughts. There are two, both men's world titles have already been decided on who they will be having as an opponent. And a last call, I wrote down, really, Tony Khan? Really? Yeah. So, okay, DP. DWI, 427, don't drink and drive, drink and podcast, ring the bell. Cheers. You drinking yet or no?
It's got some soda, no beverages.
A no would have been fine. You just said no.
You know, I thought I'd give you a little more detail. No.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, has my initials on it? Is that cool or what?
I don't give a fuck.
Well, I do.
I already know your initials, Jackass. I like it. I busted out the I drive a Dodge Stratus line the other day. We were walking through some protocols on lockout tagouts for some different machines and stuff, and it's something that needs to be done for protocol, but like everybody that was involved knew everything that was needed to do. And the guy kind of running it kind of pointed that out, and I just looked up at everybody and I said, I drive a Dodge Stratus, and everybody just lost their shit, and I just signed the paperwork and walked away. They all stood there for another 15 minutes. I'm like, dude, I got shit to do.
Yeah, been there for quite a while.
Yeah,
I know what I'm doing.
Anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk some WWE draft, DP. At least there's people to draft for every side this year. Thank goodness. It's not just Shawn Michaels going out there with a sad face on because he's losing all his talent and has to start over. But let me go over the rules and what's going to happen here so you guys are informed and aware. Now, champions on each brand are protected. That means no world champion, no WWE champion, no United States champion, no Intercontinental champion, no WWE World Tag Team Champions men, no WWE Tag Team Champions men, but, and I do like this actually, the women's WWE Tag Team Champions are eligible for the draft. And I'm okay with that because that is a dual branded championship, right? So that makes sense. Everything makes sense here. I like everything so far. SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Raw will pick first on Monday. SmackDown will have four rounds, 16 total picks. Raw will have six rounds, 24 total picks. So I'm guessing each pick will be worth four people every round, or every round will be worth four people, right? You'll pick four people every round. And I'm guessing SmackDown will have two rounds on Friday and two on Monday. Raw will probably have three on Friday and three on Monday. Raw will have the first pick on Monday. SmackDown will have the first pick on Friday. I said that already. And May 4th is Backlash in France. Monday, May 6th, the rosters will be locked. So I would imagine as we go to Raw after Backlash, Monday, May 6th, the rosters will be separated. So there are your rules. How do you feel about those rules, DP? And the difference in the picks, folks, if it hasn't hit you yet, is Raw is 50% longer than SmackDown, so they get 50% more picks.
Got an hour extra show to do. You get DP's a few more talent.
DP's not the only person on this podcast that's really good at math. and it's not AJ.
And to be fair, you're better at math in your head than me. You can do it quicker. I have to write it down. Science.
It's science.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
I love these rules. I'll say it. I like it a lot better than what it's been in the past. As much as I still hate the idea of the roster split, I love this. I think the fact that champions are protected makes a whole lot of sense. And now completely, it's like almost now solidifies that the championships are going to stay where they are. You're going to have those WWE championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the WWE Tag Titles, SmackDown. The other side's going to be the World Titles. Perfect. And we kind of realize now that that's where they're going to stay. And I think that's great. If you're a champion, you stay where you are. I do get the idea, except for the women's tag team titles, because there's only one set of tag team titles. So you can get moved around. You're on both brands
there
anyway.
There does not need to be two.
No. There's no. Not enough of a roster to do it.
Even the Undertaker came out and said that the women should have an IC-ish title. So if they're going to do that, they should give the women the TV title then. They already have an IC title. They already have a US title. Bring back the TV title. Give it to the women because it's going to be for all brands. And it should even include NXT. That's a perfect thing to do. You have a heavyweight champion. Whatever. You have a world champion on every single brand. You have SmackDown tag team champions, or no, you have women's tag team champions that basically could go to NXT as well, to be honest, and then have the secondary belt that could include all three brands. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that'd be solid, whatever you want to call it, but like, it also gives you, if you do it as like tag team, I know you've said it before, if you do it like the TV title, you know, like each week they have to defend it, like, so you're going to watch to go, when are they going to defend that title?
How about this? It's perfect because you can do the thing, right, where it's like, hey, you know what? You know what? The cat's being an asshole right now. Aren't you? Aren't you an ass? Fucking ass.
I'm the asshole in the boss place, right? I'm the asshole?
If you have this TV title, and like you said, it has to be defended once a week, right? Well, once you have defended it successfully three times on every brand over the course of 9 weeks, then you get to pick what world championship, whatever other championship you want to go for. Like, that's storytelling quickly and easily in a way to get see how people do the rivalries and everything else. Like, that's nuts. That's fast-paced storytelling right there. Built in.
Oh, and do you think you're going to tune in on defense number 10? You know, to see if they get it, they win,
well,
and get a shot.
Nine. I'd say nine because it was three for each, but
sure, whatever you want to call it.
You ruined it. You ruined it.
You ruined.
I get it. I got it. Go ahead. Keep going. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know. Well, even once you get to like after five, you're like, okay, you know, if someone you really like is like, is this person going to get a shot? You know, and then who's the first person to do it, get the shot, and then win?
Right. Right. It's like it's a built-in secondary opportunity, like a Money in the Bank or like a something to give a title shot on a televised show somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if you want to make those non-pay-per-view title defenses or something. Yeah, you know, got options. But I love it. I love this setup. Yeah. I think these rules are great. And I like the fact that what's interesting. That, yeah, it's right after Backlash, and it's a week after the draft is technically done with the picks. So you could see some trades. You could see some other stuff go on SmackDown before Backlash. and maybe even on the Raw after. Because you're going to have time to do trades. I'm sure that's going to happen.
Sure, and then there's always stuff like people that don't get drafted, like the draft actually continues, and like you get told who got moved to this roster or kept on that roster.
Right, you know, if you're free agents type of that, stuff.
There are draft pools for the main roster that have been put into draft pools. See that picture, DP?
Yeah.
It's interesting that Paul Heyman is on there. AJ brought that up. Braun Strowman is on the Monday night one as well. That's the first thing I noticed out of people that haven't been around in a while. So that would make sense for him to return. I'm wondering what factions could get broken up or drafted together.
Yeah, they didn't mention that, did they? They didn't say anything about, you know,
no, groups but it stay together,
tag team stay together.
I like then they don't get too specific because then they can do both. Like one round they can draft like fucking, I don't know, Gallows and Anderson get drafted together, right? And then the next round, you know, all of a sudden you want to break up, like pick a tag team. You
could draft Otis and not the Alpha Academy.
Or whatever, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like the leniency and the ability to not have painted yourself into a corner to go, well, this tag team got drafted, and then this single person got drafted, and, well, I don't know, we really didn't set the rules on that, so that's how it goes, and I don't mind that. Like, I think there's enough structure in the way they're already doing it. It just, there's a lot of people available for Monday. Damn. Maybe there won't be that many rounds on Friday.
There's more picks. But like I mean, there's more picks on Monday.
Three. Yeah, obviously.
So, you know, there's more time to do picks with the 3-hour show. So there's more roster available. I don't know if I like the whole pool idea, though. I think they just put them all together and you draft how you draft, you know? Like, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be limited because this is the group.
The ability. Though it gives the ability to have more first round draft picks. Because if you had them all together, technically when you got to Monday, you'd be in like the third or fourth round already, as opposed to now you're in a separate pool. This many people are first round draft picks. And then the next time this many people are still first round draft picks because you weren't, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like you can have 8 people be a first round draft pick according to this with the pool play, as opposed to only 4. So you hurt 4 less people's feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get it. I get it.
It looks like, is Jimmy the only Bloodline-ish member that's on Monday and not? Where is Jimmy? You see Jimmy on here? I see Roman Solo, Tama, and Jay, and Paul.
Who's right above Roman top there in the black, in the all black?
That's Jay.
All right, and then the other one, right? No. There's another one, like all black with a hat on. Right next to Jay.
Next to Ivar?
Yeah.
That looks like Mello.
Oh, okay. Is he on the main roster already?
He is.
All right.
Don't have any NXT people on here.
No, they just have a note there that says plus NXT superstars right. Are eligible for both days.
Where's Jimmy? Can you find Jimmy on the bottom?
What was this? Where's Waldo?
Kinda.
Yeah, I don't not seeing him. That's interesting. What's up with that?
No Jimmy.
Was there a little Jimmy?
No Jimmy is something I prefer for a certain situation, but like right here, I'd like to know where he is.
Yeah, he's not, it does not look like he is there. That is an interesting omitted thing. Maybe they took him off of there because the Solo and Tama beat him down and it's like, he's not going to be there. And make a surprise.
He comes back. Yeah. Probably. I find that. What do you feel about some of the more powerful talent, the more mainstream talent being moved to Raw as opposed to how it is where it's on SmackDown now. Because January, Netflix takes Raw. And I think that Raw becomes the A show again, don't you?
Yeah, I think they're going to try and, you know, kind of similar to what they did when SmackDown went to Fox there is, you know, bolster it up right at the beginning for sure. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bloodline move over to Mondays.
See, and it's interesting because I thought that all the titles would be eligible to draft because I thought they might bring Cody back over to Mondays.
Right.
But I guess
biggest
for now, until January, though, you're still going to have your most eyeballs on your product on national television, which is free, you know.
Right. Yeah. And you're, you know, at that point, you're damn near on the road to WrestleMania to start, you know, the Netflix run. And a couple months from then, you can redo another draft. So
here's the funniest thing, right? Like, let's talk about this Netflix thing for a second. Netflix doesn't give out numbers about how many people watched certain things, right?
No, you're not going to have that anymore.
Are they going to give out numbers on how many people tuned in live to watch Monday Night Raw and then how many more people watched it before the next Monday Night Raw? Those are the numbers that I would want to know. I would want to know how many people were watching each quarter hour for Raw, and then I would want to know how many people tuned in over the course of the next week before the next Raw to watch the Raw for the first time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For a company that isn't really into sharing numbers, do you think, like, obviously WWE is going to be privy to what's going on with that. They're going to want to know how many people are tuning in. It has to be in the contract for what they've signed to give them the content, right? It's just, it is a different apple though for Netflix, though, because previously everything has been streaming. They haven't really had a live footprint. But now, starting with David Chang Live, Dinner Time Live with David Chang. I apologize if you haven't watched it yet. 6 episodes, A-list Hollywood guests, and great conversation. Even better looking food. The dude's genius. That was their first live show. They've done the sports thing already with the tennis match, I believe. And they're looking into do more live stuff on Netflix, and like Raw is going to be their flagship thing. I'm telling you, 3 hours every week. It's huge.
It's funny the way these things are going, but it's a big get for Netflix.
We've talked on Bandwagon Nerds for years now. Like, eventually it's all just going to, like, streaming's turning into cable now, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, I mean, yeah, we all kind of knew it was coming. But I think, yeah, it'll be good. And, I'm sure as soon as they start doing this kind of stuff, too, they're going to have to start kind of providing those numbers in some way, shape, or form so that they can, you know, show that it's working and the amount of people they're getting to tune in to watch. So I'm sure WWE is going to want to know who's watched it at least, you know, during the show to get those numbers. Cause when have they not, you know, shown off, you know, how many people have watched, and it's one of the biggest things to do the comparisons to. It'd be interesting to see if they get the, just the amount of people that watched over the course of the week.
Right, that secondary thing, right? Like live, how many people watch live, and then how many people, like, you can track them watching it for the first time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell the difference between a user that watched it live and then rewatched it again, as opposed to someone who didn't watch live and just watches it at a different time. So, and when they watch it and things of that nature. But it'll be interesting. The evolution of Netflix is upon us. You know, stay tuned to Bandwagon Nerds every Monday morning.
I think that interesting one you just said was like what day they watched it. Like, would be interesting to see that. Sure. And I wonder
where does the viewership, like, you could tell hour by hour, minute by minute. Like, you could just you could create a graph that you just scroll, like, you know, like say you're checking on your cryptocurrency and you go to like the last 24 hours and you can scroll where that fucking money line was. And then you can go last week and you can scroll where that money line was. So you can just scroll where that viewership is. How many people were watching it this time? What time was, how many people were watching it, You can go click into this thing. Like, this many people are watching. This many people right now at this minute are watching it for the first time. This many people are watching it for the second time. You know, the depth of data you can get because of the ability to track the usership. And I want all those things. Like, Rob the Genius right now is sitting there somewhere and his ears are ringing. He's like, damn it. I feel like Tony and DP are talking about numbers, but I just can't put my finger on it. We're talking about it, Rob. We're not podcasting together right now. You're podcasting the Mindless Podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be, I really doubt it would ever happen, I guess, but would, I mean, do you think like, hey, if they went, you know, people are tuning in on Thursdays or Tuesdays or something, like, you think that would at all ever be like, do we change, switch days, right? Do we readjust things? Like, I just don't think that would ever be the case, because it's like, well, Mondays, just whether we wrestle on Mondays, that's our day.
I put it this way, though,
you know,
there's something to be said for 31 years of being in the exact same time spot.
That's what, right? I'm saying, like, I don't think it would ever happen, but like, there's just some numbers you can, but I'm sure that, like, they've figured that out over the, yeah.
I've been doing this podcasting thing for nearly 10 years, and I've been running the radio network for 7 years about, and I worked retail for 10 years, and I can tell you one thing, and I've learned from those three things: podcasting, running a podcast, and working retail. Those three things in common have told me that you need to be consistent and you need to be open, as in open for business. Like, you need to be there when you say you're going to be there, right? Otherwise, if someone comes by and you're closed, they might never come by again. And if someone comes by and you have an old episode or you don't have a content drop when you're supposed to, you might not get that listener ever again, right? So consistency and being there are like the easiest and the biggest things that you can do.
You ain't gonna get any argument here.
And if that isn't a little insight into exactly who I am in some aspects of my life, then I don't know what is.
Wait, I think I got one for this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I don't, do I? I hate having too many sound bites. Sometimes too many sound bites are not good.
No, keep looking. I think it's really good. This is so fun, though. Like, I love the way this show has evolved. Like, I love it when it's me, you, AJ, and Dave. I love it when it's me, you, and AJ. I love when Platt comes by. I love when all our favorite guys, Ray, Aesop, Max, whoever, anybody from DJ, anybody. Rob, blah, blah, blah. But it just, you really get like the, I don't know, 100, like the 50th episode, to like the 200th episode kind of feel when it's you and I in certain points, you know? Like, this, believe it or not, folks, is the original Chair Shot Radio crew right here. Okay.
Go back and find it.
And I'll tell you what. That was one of the best things I ever did. I'll just speak for myself, because especially when we first brought in Platt to do Chair Shot Radio and not DWI, and all the interviews we did, I mean, in like, we probably did that for a year and a half, the two, three of us, you know, and over the course of what, like 78 weeks, which is a year and a half, I'll bet you we did 40, 45 interviews.
Sounds about right.
And we were rolling back then. Now the sheer thought of doing an interview with someone I've never met before that isn't like a wrestling favorite of mine all time is just like, I don't think I find that necessary anymore. I mean, we used to do a lot of research.
We had some good ones, too. I mean, yeah. Tommy Rich, Thunder Rosa, Beer City Bruiser.
But not even
Silas,
like,
Young.
You're talking about a lot of people that have made it on the TV and that the public and the wrestling world all over know. But I'm talking about some of the people we did that were really, I couldn't even remember some of their names, but they were just, and I'm not meaning this in a bad, they were just mid-level indie wrestlers, but they were fun and hilarious. And who's the Goblin guy? Remember the Goblin guy? He had the Goblins.
Oh boy.
No. You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
No. Dan didn't like you lackeys as much as I did. He only liked the big name stars.
I got, I don't remember who else. I got a list.
So, do you agree that we're probably going to see Jacob Fatu at the right time here? I think they're putting him off till after the draft here so they can just bring him in, whatever they're going to do with Solo and Tama. I think their tribal chief is The Rock right now, Solo and Tama.
I found my soundbite.
Consistency!
There you go.
That was it?
That was it.
Simpsons. I could have done that. Could have just texted me the word and said, say it like Ralph.
That was actually Rod and Todd.
Yep. Oh, that was Todd?
Yeah.
Oh, bountiful penis. Seen that clip the other day.
I think...
thank you, Lord, for this bountiful penis! Bountiful penis. I think it's when Homer dares Bart to ride his skateboard to Krusty Burger and back naked, and he does it, and Bart gets caught by the cops and crashes on the curb, and his naked penis ends up on the window of the fast food place where
the Flanderses
are eating and praying right beforehand, and Ned says, thank you for that bountiful penis, and Rod Todd both bountiful penis.
That was from the movie. That's good.
Oh, that was the movie. Yeah, that's right. That's what I was. I was drunk.
Nice.
Pick a day. Just pick one. It doesn't matter.
I think they might as well hold off. I mean, they don't need to bring him in just yet. I'm 100% that it's The Rock is their tribal chief right now. It makes a lot of sense. And then
talked about it last week. We want that Civil War Games, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great storyline to tell right now. It makes a lot of sense, and leads to Rock Roman, next year. And
sure,
it's a good way to bring both of them in, bring the whole, these couple extra guys. Solo looks more like more of a badass. I love his more mafia type look with the whole suit. Looks really cool. And
the way Paul pointed it out was excellent.
I missed that. What was that?
Yeah, Paul Heyman pointed it out. It did a shock. Like, he was shocked.
Oh, yeah.
And he did his whole Paul Heyman thing. And I got to start writing down my notes again. Maybe I'll just do the, what is it? I'll be watching you. What do we call
observations?
It?
Observations. Yeah.
Observations. That maybe I'll just song, have to write down my, maybe I'll just have to do my observations, writing them down when I watch.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. A little more evolution to Solo's character, and
sure.
And then when we get the rest brought back, I mean, you can hold off on Jacob Fatu for a little while. I mean, if they wanted to,
The next time I think. We'll see. From everything I've read, he's already signed and he's in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, right now, what they're doing, he doesn't necessarily need to be there. They could wait till they have whatever kind of next match they're going to have.
Have it all planned out for the time for when he's going to come in and help and do what and be where. And so, how about, at Backlash and cost Jay the title?
Or that, yeah. It depends on what's going to happen. And
They took out Jimmy. Why don't they take out Jay?
He's already gone. I mean, they're taking out the loose end of the bloodline, the weak link. I mean, Jay's already technically gone from the bloodline, so they don't need to.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I mean, I think that's happening at some point, because I think if the bloodline moves over to Raw, then Jay's right there. now this is when Jimmy could come back and help Jay at some point.
You got it. You got it.
So that may be
a little further down the line
when Solo versus Jay or something.
We're gonna know before Backlash.
Oh, true. Yeah, so they totally could do that.
So if they get drafted to Raw, expect them to take out Jay in the championship match, right?
Yep, that would make sense. There you go.
Yeah, suck it.
Get together.
Any last thoughts on the draft, DP? I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun couple of nights this weekend.
Yeah, those are always kind of fun just because they're different. Again, I'm not biggest fan of the split, but I like the draft.
If you're going to have a split, you got to have the draft.
Right. And I like where they're doing it now. I think we've talked about that. It should be like kind of right after WrestleMania, not towards where Survivor Series or the end of the year. I like where it is.
It's perfect because you have Backlash, and that allows you to do anything post WrestleMania with a storyline that you need to do, right? Like it's named properly. And now we build. So, all right, let's take a commercial break here, DP. No more commercial breaks after this, though. This will be our last one. You're listening to DWI 427 right here, Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com. You know what we do. We remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast. DP, PC, DWI 427.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, folks. I am bartending for myself here in the middle of the show, which is not a big deal because
normally don't.
I told you to not drink and drive, but you may drink and podcast. So I'm just doing as I say, so you do as I do. And if you think I haven't been efforting one Christopher Platt to get his butt back on the show every once in a while, I have. If you'd also like to hear the velvet pipes of one Christopher Platt, the realest one, by the way, go on the old X Force and tweet him, post at him at the real C Platt to get his Bhutan Clan back on the DWI podcast. DP, you had something to say?
No, I was just saying, you were saying you bartending for yourself. I'm like, you normally don't? You get Hawk to do that for you or what?
Wouldn't that be something?
Thumbs, man.
No, but when I go to a bar, I don't. I mean, unless I'm in Bear Creek.
Here. I mean, like, you know.
You know the Bear Creek softball story?
Probably.
You weren't there. Saturday night, it's like a very small town, and the bar is right by the fields where the tournament's going on, and all the teams are having fun that are up there. Everybody's getting along. And it's like 11:30. Remember Steiner, Sean?
Yeah.
So Sean and I jump behind the bar and we start bartending.
Oh, boy.
And the bartenders basically leave and go in the back. They don't do anything. They don't care. They're whatever. And we're just serving drinks to everybody. We're giving everything away.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm making drinks and, like, trying to do stuff and have fun, you know? And Sean, here's what Sean would do. Someone would come up, like, a girl would come up and go, "Hi, can I get Bacardi Limon, Captain Coke, 2 shots of Goldschlager, a Jaeger Bomb, a Miller Lite, and that's it." And Sean would be like, "Yeah, no problem." He'd turn around and go, 6 Miller Lights. There you go. He was only serving beer. So the night was over. Everybody had a good time. We got all this free booze. So we go to breakfast the next day, and Rob Bogelky, you know that name?
Yeah.
Like, "Hey guys, we gotta talk. I they have cameras there, and I have a $487 bar tab on my credit card." So there was 11 of us up there. We all gave Rob $50 and he gave them a $50 tip. And they said, you guys are legends. Come back next year. Just don't get behind the bar.
Oh, hilarious.
Anyway, early backlash thoughts, DP. Cody will be defending. Who's Cody defending against again?
AJ.
In my mind. Styles. That's right, AJ Styles. And the world champion, Damian Priest, will be defending against Jey Uso. Like, there's no way AJ Styles wins. Like, not a chance. Like, just like, this is like, this should, there's no betting line on this. Like there isn't. There just is not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, why bother? It would be like you need to put up $10 billion to win a penny.
Yeah, can they just put no line? Nope.
And sorry. Then, how about on the other side, though? Because it's interesting what they did on Raw and what Jay said in response to Priest in their back and forth. Because Priest said, you're just the guy they're feeding to me. And Jay said, no, no, you don't understand. You're just the guy so they can get to me. Like, easily they could have said, what are we going to do with this briefcase? It's been forever. And now they're like, well, this is perfect. Seth's going away. And he was. He got surgery just enough so he could get through Mania. And fucking kudos to Seth fucking Rollins, by the way. I mean, long time known as the best in the world right here on the DWI podcast, right, DP? Long time.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Even back when he was in the Shield.
So Drew gets his moment. Seth gets his time off. Priest gets his cash in wins so we don't have to waste another briefcase. And we have the summer of Jey Uso with the bloodline coming over to Raw. That sounds interesting.
It's an intriguing idea to have Jey Uso as champion as the bloodline comes over to try and rip it away from him. I mean, they certainly could do that. I don't see it at all. I do like the idea of Jey being a champion at some point. He's got everything, and Monday proved it with just the verbal exchange on the mic too. You know, obviously he's been decent on the mic, but like
he can hold his own. No one's bigger in the crowd.
No.
Like he's more over with the crowd than anybody else. Like there's nobody more over. There could be a couple that are as over as he is with the crowd when he comes out, but like the yeet going, like no, that the whole fucking place is doing that. There's no one out there not doing it. Like it's 100% everybody likes Jey Uso. Who doesn't like Jey Uso? Tell me. Besides a bad guy.
Jimmy Uso. All right.
Fuck you. I knew it. That's why I added the caveat. It's a caveat. The addendum came because my brain was like, well, this motherfucker.
Caught up. No, I mean, obviously, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't talked to a lot of people and said, hey, what do you think about Jey Uso? You know?
Can I tell you something? Maybe you should start.
He's an alright kid, eh?
Hey, DPP, I'm a scientist. How do you feel about Jey Uso?
So when we go hang out Saturday at the bar, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to poll everybody. Hey, welcome to wherever we're at. What do you feel about Jey Uso?
There's specifically one bar we will not be going to now. We will not. If you're going to do that, we're not going to Coaches.
Why embarrass you? I don't think that's possible at that bar.
You embarrass me?
At that bar.
You embarrass me?
Yeah. Speaking of legends.
Hey, give me the remote, damn it. No. Any other thoughts for Backlash here? Anything you want to see at Backlash? I know it's like, it's tough because it's really the best things that are going to happen at Backlash are going to be storyline driven. There's not going to really be meaningful title changes, I don't think, unless you think Jey Uso does win this one, because it's always just kind of,
what's the
adding another facet to WrestleMania. That's all, to get you out of the story.
Yeah. It's the closing up of the rest of the story, or the, you know, the rematch to end it and everything like that.
If WrestleMania is the finale to a grandiose performance throughout the year, then Backlash is its encore before we start over again.
Right. Yep. And the hard part right now is like, well, there's only two matches listed. So like, you know, we're a week away.
Listen, I labeled this on the Big Show sheet as early Backlash thoughts. Okay. So get off my Backlash. Oh,
I'm not getting off of you. I'm not. Get off my Backlash. Well, I think we got a title.
Get off my, it should be get off my back ... Lash.
I mean, I like at least the first two matches that they have, loving it, you know, Cody and AJ going to be fantastic. And Jey Uso, I think, is just going to, you know, ball out for that match. So, and Priest's first title defense, I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to show off that he deserves to be there.
Before we go to last call, how do you feel about Becky winning the Women's Battle Royal on Raw and becoming the brand new Women's World Champion?
I absolutely, well, this doesn't do anything with Becky, but I hate the fact that they do a battle royal for a, I have world title, I think is, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, I think, is fine. I think most of us kind of thought that, or Liv. Becky is like a safe pick because she can carry that for however long they need to. I don't know. It's fine. I don't know who else you'd give it to at that point, because I don't think you crown somebody odd as champion just from that. And they have a built-in storyline with Liv Morgan going on, so it didn't make any sense to give it to anybody else but one of those two.
I don't think Charlotte was ready to come back yet. I was hoping that would have been perfect, because it would have been like a surprise, you know. It would have been different than Becky. Because like Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Sasha are the same thing to a point of as far as stature, right? Once I seen Becky tweet about people saying she was going on vacation, but like she's going to France or something like that, or like she was going to be in the Battle Royal, I'm like, okay, well, she's sticking around for a reason, because Seth's off. You could have, Liv was like, everybody would have been okay with it, right? No one would have said anything. It would have said like, but then like, you're just telling everybody, okay, well, Liv's going to have the belt for a while, at least until Rhea gets back. You know what I mean?
True.
No one questions the fact that Becky's the champion, even though she won it in a battle royal with a lot of people don't like it, because she's Becky Lynch and it's her seventh fucking reign. And she's possibly she is one of the greatest women's professional wrestlers of all time. Possibly, where I was going there, is the greatest. Like you could have a conversation that I don't think so. I think she's easily in the top 10, possibly top 5, but I don't think she's the greatest ever. But no one questions that. Liv wins it like that, and it's kind of like, well, that was kind of like, you know, Rhea got hurt. You were lucky to get the belt there, you know? But if Becky wins this battle royal and loses to Liv, that gives Liv a really big win, because she beat Becky Lynch for the championship, as opposed to winning a battle royal after a very dominant champion got hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I think they did a battle royal because, oh shit, the draft is here. We need to get this done because we have to make plans, and it's the draft.
Probably, right? We need our champion solidified.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I do like, how did you feel about Chelsea Green? I thought that was fantastic. A great bit. gets thrown over the top, lands, none of the refs are watching, so she hops back up on the apron, and they're like, get back in there.
She's like the clown princess of wrestling, and I mean that in like the best possible way, right? Like, she is awesome at entertaining you. She is not a bad wrestler either. At some point, they can turn her into this, like, have like a savage, vicious kind of side for a while. Maybe give her the title as a super bad person, because right now she's a bad guy, but she's fun to watch. And you don't like, you don't necessarily hate her in that bad guy way. You hate her in an annoying way, if you think it that way. But most people find her entertaining and hilarious, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
I do too. And I love the fact that they let Samantha Irvin do the, introduction the way Chelsea Green, you know, as opposed to they were, you know, whoever put the kibosh on that before was stupid.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing that just adds that extra element to your character. Like, why would you not 100%. Let that happen? That's ridiculous. 100%.
I agree. I can tell you what's not ridiculous, DP. That's Last Call.
Alcohol. What do you mean it's Last Call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the Last Call here before we end the show. And it was so bad. We're going to talk about it.
We don't talk about this. We don't talk about other shows.
We don't. But like, this
but we
is
have
really
to.
Yeah. Don't you think, though? Like, if you don't think so, I'll just end the show and we'll skip it. But I think we should just at least like touch on it, right? Like, you don't have to put it in the synopsis if you don't want to. Last Call, tune in to find out or whatever, you know. But
makes my stomach hurt, this Last Call.
As we record, but as you listen, Wednesday night, the Jack Perry, the Young Bucks and Okada turned on Tony Khan. And he got the, I think it's the Meltzer driver after getting the business from Jack Perry. We reinstated and then he got turned on and he's joined the new elite, which is Okada, Perry, and the Young Bucks, which is fine, kind of cool. I think the only good thing about this is a really cool way to bring Jack Perry back is with the new elite. Good for him. Not that he deserves to be in such a great situation, but I don't know him and I only know things I've heard. So, but the way this happened and the fact that this guy named Tony Khan just keeps like making himself look stupid and going back on things he's said in the past is just nuts. And then Papa Khan comes out after it's all over and they're tending him to the ring and he looks like Frank Costanza, like ready to fight over Del Boca Vista. I mean, seriously, it's hilarious. You're
saying, you want a piece of me?
Everybody says they want to see Tony Khan in the neck brace at the in the draft room for the Jaguars to really sell it. Kayfabe isn't dead in AEW. I don't know. Somebody compared this to NWO and said it was the MWO because the Young Bucks and Perry are so fucking short, it's the midget world order. DP, yeah. No.
Which part do you want to start with? I mean,
none of it, really. But we were here.
We
decided
here
to fucking bring our boots and shovels today. Slopping the shit. How long have I been telling people to run? Turn and run. Run hard, so, run fast, run far. Don't look back. Keep going. And when I first started saying this, everybody was like, well, that's a little drastic. And now I got people like best friend Dave Ungar going, I'm pretty much done. I don't watch anymore. I'm giving me shit because I tuned in last week because nothing was on TV for 30 minutes, right? Give me a fucking break.
You made the mistake.
Well, I did it just for shits and forgets and shiggles, right? I mean, I've been the one telling you every turn, every time in the chat, any podcast I get on, any time in public, anybody, you can go around telling people about fucking whatever you want at the bar. I'm going to tell them, you see AEW, anything, You turn, you run. You run fast, you run far, you don't stop, you don't look back.
Or, you know, you hang out and complain, and then you get Tony Khan standing in the ring, and he takes a punch to the stomach and lays out like he got knocked the fuck out, and then realized, oh shit, he hit me in the stomach. Yeah. Ow!
Yeah. He got paralyzed, and then the pain hit him.
And then he was like, oh yeah, stomach hurts. Ow! I'm sure he was so over the moon to do this bit.
The greatest moment of his life. Greatest moment of his life.
Yep.
And I hope, the only thing I hope for Tony Khan is that he is so ignorant that he doesn't, and so
he still enjoys
it. Has no self-awareness and he still loves it, right? Like, he just doesn't get it.
I'm sure he enjoyed every minute.
People around, how doesn't everybody love it? These people are all haters. You're a hater. And like, eventually, sometimes, at some point, he's going to be able to see the forest from the fucking trees, and he's going to go, oh my God, I look like an idiot.
It's going to be like the first couple episodes of the DWI podcast when you realize, oh my God, look back and go like, what was I thinking? Like, that was a poor choice. That was what he's, I hope at some point that's what he's going to do. But you know, right now he's like, this was the greatest fucking thing ever. You know, he was probably like, all these people are angry for everything we've been doing, and I'm such a terrible person, supposedly. Like, I'm going to go out there and show them, like, I can get involved. Let's do it. And then he went out and he did it. Oh, he did it. All right. That was so bad. I'm so glad for social media in that sense, because I would, like you, I don't fucking watch it. I was never going to watch it, but thank God that's there. I'm not much a social media person, but for that clip, thank fuck, man. Cause I wanted to see that. That was just the worst thing. I mean, that Pete Rose did a better job selling than he did. Like, that's so bad. Like, I hope he doesn't go like, well, you know, Vince McMahon's not around anymore. Like, I can be the new guy, you know, the owner gets involved now and can be part of the storylines. I sure hope to God that that does not happen.
Here's one of my favorite memes, DP, and I can't really explain it on air. I could if I wanted to. I don't necessarily have to, but I just want to see you laugh. So how about that one?
That's fantastic.
Any last thoughts this week, DP, on anything we've talked about? Probably, hopefully, if you do have something, it's not AEW.
No, I think I'm excited for the draft. I like to see who gets moved around and what the landscape's going to look like for the summer. I'm certainly going to tell a lot of good storylines, or, you know, how storylines are going to roll out. So,
do you know what's funny though? Is like, nobody's sitting here, like literally nobody's out there sitting here saying, talking, going, oh, we really need to freshen it up here for this or that or the other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's 100% true. Like, it's been, well, yeah, cause it's been so great. The storylines have been done so well, and the matchups have been so fun. The wrestling's been really good that, like I've kind of said, like, I don't need a draft. Like, if they all stay together, because they do a good job of putting the storylines together to make it interesting every time. If they switch it up, I think it's going to be just as great.
Couldn't agree more. We'll let that be the last thought this week. AJ Belaz was out on assignment. He will be back next week. You can follow him at Phenomenal AJBDP. Do the closing I drive a Dodge Stratus. Do the closing show thing.
The closing show thing. Like, you can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs thing at It's Me DPP. And you can follow this show on the X Force at Podcast DWI and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast. And all you Packer fans can enjoy the fact of watching Caleb Williams, or the Chicago Bears quarterback, probably fail like every other damn quarterback the Chicago Bears have had, because their offense is shit. So we're going to look forward to that as the first pick came in for the draft.
I thought you were going to ask me, is that what you want me to do?
Oh, is that it? Is that it?
You don't have to do it anymore. You already did it.
Sweet. Well done.
Well done. Way to go. Right.
Two quarterbacks taken. The Commanders take Jaden Daniels. First two picks are in. Enjoy the rest
of
the draft.
Follow me at PC Tunney. Don't forget everything Chair Shot Radio Network. We will see you next week right here once again for DWI 428.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.